Chapter 4. Dawn arrived, clad in hushed rosiness, upon the wake of storm-torn night. Abbot Bernard had not lain abed. He was up and about. Concern for his beloved Redwall had driven sleep from his mind. The ravages of gale force, winds and rain would need repairing. He made a swift tour of inspection, finishing up on the east battlements. Leaning back upon the strongly hewn stones, Bernard allowed himself a sigh of relief. There was not much that any weather conditions, no matter how severe, could do to the abbey. However, there were broken branches and wrecked tree limbs overhanging the ramparts to the east and north, with here and there some ill-fated sapling or hollow woodland monarch toppled against the walls. Inside, the grounds had largely been protected by the outer structure. A few crops flattened, fruit bushes in disarray, and a loose window shutter on the gatehouse blown awry. The father abbot descended the wall steps thankfully and went to summon Formole to head a repair crew. They could attend to the damage after breakfast. The calm after the storm also had its effects upon the inmates of Redwall Abbey. Young creatures tumbled out of the abbey building into the sunlit morning. Whooping and shouting, they teemed into the orchard to gather fruit brought down by the winds of the gale. The otter twins, Bag and Run, frisked and bounded around the apple and pear trees to the strawberry patch, then lay on their backs squeaking with laughter as they gobbled up the juicy fruit, inventing fictitious reasons as to why the berries were lying there.
Look what was blown down from the strawberry trees by the wind last night.
Duddy Quill, Gabe Quill's little nephew, joined them. He sat in the strawberry patch, trying to decide which was the biggest berry, eating all the possible candidates as he listened to the otters. Duddy was not at all sure whether he should believe they had come from a strawberry tree.
Strawberry trees? I don't see no strawberry trees. Where be they?
Bag coughed hard to stop himself tittering. He put on a serious face as he explained the logic of fictitious strawberry trees to the puzzled little Duddy.
What? You'd never seed a strawberry tree? Dear, oh dear, why, they're great giant things of blue speckly leaves. Very light, of course, only weigh as much as two goose feathers. That's why the wind blowed them all away. Whoosh! Straight over the top of the abbey walls.
The gullible Duddy looked from one to the other, half convinced. Run nodded serious agreement and continued the story.
Sroy, I seed it myself from the dormitory window. Way away they blowed, all those poor old great strawberry trees, carried off by the wind to the Gongle Boo Mountains where the grungly pods live.
A half-eaten strawberry dropped from Duddy's open mouth.
Grungly Boo's Mountain where grungle pods live? Where be that?
Under a nearby pear tree, Dandin stood paws on hips with his friend, young Saxtus the Harvest Mouse. Both smiled as they listened to the two otters leading Duddy Quill astray with their tall tails. Saxtus bit into a windfall pear and grimaced.
Don't know why we came out here to eat fruit. Most of these windfalls aren't even ripe yet. Taste this pear, hard as a rock.
Dandin sat down with the otters and Duddy.
No thanks. I'll try my luck with all these berries that fell from the strawberry trees.
He looked over the top of a large strawberry at Bag and Run.
Strawberry trees indeed. You two should be ashamed of yourselves, telling a poor little hedgehog such whopping great fibs.
Saxtus sat down with them, keeping his normally solemn face quite straight.
Dandin's right, you know. Otters that tell lies get carried off by the big, pink water boggle.
Bag tossed a strawberry into the air. It missed his mouth and bounced off his nose as he remarked airily.
Oh, the pink water boggle. We've been carried off twice this summer by him, haven't we, Run?
Run giggled.
Oh, I'll say we have. We told him so many whoppers, he said he's not carrying us off anymore.
From the direction of the damson and plum trees, Simeon's voice interrupted.
Saxtus, Dandin, Brother Hubert wants you for your Redwall history and recording lessons. He is not getting any younger and someday we will need a new recorder. Traditions must be upheld. Come on, young scamps, I know you're there.
The two young mice dropped flat in the strawberry patch, Dandin holding a paw to his lips.
Shush! It's Simeon. Lie low. He might go away.
The steady paw steps of the blind herbalist came nearer. Simeon called again.
Come on, you two. I know you're hiding in the strawberry patch.
Saxtus tugged Bag's tail and winked at the young otter. Bag winked back as he called out.
It's Bag and Wren, Simeon. We're the only ones here.
Simeon appeared, chuckling.
I'm going to count to three, and if you two otters and that nephew of Quill's aren't off to the Abbey kitchen to help with the chores, I'll tell Mother Mellus to come and fetch you with a hazel twig. As for Saxtus and Dandin, unless you want me to give you an extra lecture on the value of nightshade and campion as herbs, you'll come out now and stop lying there trying to breathe lightly. I may not have eyesight, but my ears and nose have never deceived me yet.
Saxtus and Dandin stood up ruefully, wiping away dew from their novices' habits. Wordlessly, they followed Simeon to the gatehouse at the entrance to the outer walls. Simeon strolled boldly ahead, a smile hovering about his lips.
Pity the strawberry trees got blown away in the storm. You could have climbed up one and hidden in its branches.
Brother Hubert sat at his desk in the gatehouse.